Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Oh, man. Holy cow. We are live. It is real.
It is. It is real, Brian. We are live.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke. It's real. I'm in Madison. He's in Madison. Surprise!
We're
surprise,
both here.
Everyone. It's a fun time.
It is. It is a grand time. It is a Monday afternoon. It is the first day, Brian, that Juneteenth is being recognized as a national, a federal holiday here in the United States of America. And so for those of you enjoying the federal holiday, we appreciate you joining us. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. I miss you, man.
Well, yeah, dude. And just everybody out there, if you're waiting for delayed mail, just think about delayed justice for all black people in the entire United States. That's pretty much the theme of the whole thing. We'll get into that a little bit later. Right now, you're listening to us on the southern swath of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in Madison, it's 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You're also checking us out in Waukesha on 540 AM, WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. And you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. Give us a call or text. And then, you know, I'll probably be screening your calls right now because I got the controls. I got the con right
now.
You
do. You have the controls.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting for me. Also disorienting as well because I haven't used this board in a while. And, you know.
We're just getting you warmed up, you know.
Getting it warmed up.
Yeah, you're getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah, we're back. So you missed.
And I'm back because I took the last week off, Brian, so I appreciate you filling in. And
you missed a hell of a week, buddy.
It was an interesting week to unplug. I fully did it, though. I turned off email notifications, Twitter notifications, all the news updates that I get for regular ins and outs of the working at the station. Turned it all off. I unplugged. I went out to the mountains. I highly recommend spending some time in the mountains.
Was it the mountains of Bush?
It was not the mountains
beer?
Of Bush. It was not. Beer was had. No Bush was had, though. Lots of craft beer, several different states. Went and saw some beautiful areas of the country. Got down to Kentucky, Tennessee, a little time in North Carolina, as well as Ohio. So it was a well-traveled week for me. Enjoyed it thoroughly. Recommend everybody kind of taking a week to unplug, but I guess maybe not recommend taking last week off just because of how much news I missed out on, Brian.
Well, there was the hearings.
Yeah.
Gableman got himself into a little bit of trouble there.
There was some severe weather going on.
Yeah, our satellite got destroyed.
Yep.
And tossed around like a rag doll. And looks like a dead dandelion now.
It did from
it
that
was
photo that you
that
sent
was,
me.
That was the first thing. You're like, hey, I got back and, you know, let me show you some pictures, which is cool and everything. And I'm like, do you want me to show you some of our pictures?
And I got a picture of a broken satellite. It was just smashed to pieces.
Welcome home.
Welcome back. So we're working with it. But it's an interesting week. And we're going to have our friend Matt Rothschild.
Yep.
Join us at the bottom of the hour, Brian, to catch me up on what I may have missed from the last two hearings last week, as well as what we could maybe expect for tomorrow's hearing of the January 6th Select Committee.
Hey, because as always, there's Wisconsin ties.
Well, it sounds to me like in previewing tomorrow's hearing that there's going to be kind of the state legislative aspect of it, and I have a feeling we're going to have some of our Wisconsin state actors playing a central role in tomorrow's hearing then.
You know what? I hope everybody's going to be proud.
I
hope everybody's going to be proud of what gets revealed by this wonderful Select Committee.
It'll be really curious to find out which state has like the highest contender, whether it's Georgia, Arizona, or Wisconsin.
Well, we went all the way and made the electors. We sent them in, and then we still have the reviews going on. I don't know. I think everybody, even Arizona, I think was like, nah, dude, nah,
Nothing. Arizona wrapped it up. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the conservative outfit here in the state of Wisconsin, has even wrapped it up. They wrapped it up a while ago, but Robin Voss is still content with just paying Gableman. They are over $1 million now. We're going to get into that a little bit more with our friend Matt Rothschild.
Oh, I thought of you so
well.
Much. It was great.
Yeah, but it was an interesting week, and we're taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789.
Maybe. We'll see.
If you want to share whether it's a tangent or what you think I missed out on, give me a call. Let us know. We're going to take those calls. But Brian, it was an interesting weekend for you as well, my friend, correct?
Yeah, I went to a party, an interesting party. I also had Father's Day. That was awesome yesterday.
Yes, happy belated Father's Day.
We spur of the moment decided to go down to Chicago and watch the Cubs game.
There you go.
Really cool, actually. It was actually Juneteenth, and they had one of the Staples sisters singing the Black National Anthem before the National Anthem. And by the way, that moved me a hell of a lot more than the National Anthem did, I'll tell you that. Also, I was standing there with wind in my eyes, so it didn't help that I was tearing up as well as being blown with wind in my eyes. So Amy and I were both looking at each other like, yeah, this is great. Hey, I got stuff in my eyes. But brought Darby, had a great time.
Nice.
That was awesome. We went to a party, like I was going to get into earlier on Saturday, for a friend of ours, has a kid who is, wants to be, referred to with he, him pronouns, formerly, she, her type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know much beyond that, but the birthday party was, not just a birthday party, but also in celebration of like kind of a gender reveal type of thing.
Yeah, that decision.
That decision. Which... Okay, awesome. It took me all of like 5 seconds. Hey, Darbs, you know we're going to go to this party, right? Yeah, we're going to hang out with your friends that you always hang out with? Yeah. Your friend wants to be referred to as he, him now. And this is the name of that kid's going to go by. Oh, okay, cool.
And that was it.
Can I go on the bounce house? Yeah, absolutely. Have fun. It was great. So absolutely, like that's really just a... I'm really happy just to announce that for my world and everything that's going on with me and my family and everything, it was basically just, we're going over our friend's house and having fun, which is what we did. It was a great time. I also picked up a really cool interview subject, too, which we'll bring in a couple weeks, maybe a little after the 4th of July. We'll bring him in. He's a really cool guy. Green Beret. Wants to talk about a traumatic brain injury, so we'll talk about that. I always love to talk to the vets, that type of thing. So yeah, we went to this party, and the sad thing was we were like the only the kid himself had a bunch of friends over. There was a huge like sleepover party type of thing, but we go to this event every year. We've been going for the last couple years or so.
Party happens once a year.
But it's also like an adult event too. It's always been an adult event. Every kid's birthday in a proper family should be an adult event anyway, right?
Right.
Where, you know, copious amounts of alcohol are flowing and then the kids are nagging, can I go home now? Oh, yeah, now it's the kid. That's great. Anyway.
Go play. One more lap on the playground. You know, we're finishing this story.
And we did that and everything, but it was a... There was a lot less people there than normal, and it was noticeable, and there were some people who had illnesses, and some people just flat out said, no, this is too much for me. I can't deal with it, and it made me sad. Made me really sad, 'cause this kid's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool.
And
I like him a lot.
It's really drastic sometimes too, Brian, when you can hear stories like that where to the kids being asked to support that decision, it's not even a second thought.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And to not have that support, I can't imagine how difficult that would be.
And my kid's just one that, you know, we see this family like maybe a couple times a year. We always have a great time and you know, family friends type of thing. We're best buds for life, and it wasn't even a thing. It wasn't even you don't have to sit down and for us it was just a Saturday. For other people it was like night and day, whereas before you were one thing, and not like it's as if like automatically people treat you differently after, you know, some sort of ceremony. You know what I mean? Like if everybody just called you by, only now called you by your confirmation name type of thing. Like when you, like, it's not like other people don't have different name ceremonies and that type of thing. My point is like, okay, the kid wants to be called him, her, awesome. My conversation with him was basically like, hey, happy birthday.
Yeah.
I think you're cool. Have a good one. Because the kid's a teenager. No matter what, it doesn't matter. I'm the awkward adult, right? So let's go to the phones. 844-967-2789. We got our buddy Jack in Merrimack here. How you doing, Jack? Welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Just peachy keen, as my granny used to say. I thought I would add a little bit to Luke's knowledge of what's happened in the last week, which was the Texas Republican Convention, and these guys have gone full-on crazy. They, of course, obviously want to anoint or crown Trump president, probably for life. That's part of their platform, actually, that Biden's illegitimate. But the really cool thing is they also apparently, according to what I heard on Tom Hartman at least, authorized the Republicans to vote for secession from the Union. Seems to me that somebody tried that a little while ago, and that didn't work out too well.
But yeah, you know, and what kind of economic engines are they going to have if that happens, by the way?
They can't even regulate their own power grid, let alone...
I don't think they realize how purple Texas is as well. Thanks for the call, Jack. Yeah,
I appreciate that, Jack. That was something that I saw, and it... That, you got to mark that one up as scary rather than just, you know, kind of idiotic. Because at first, you think that it would be idiotic. Just, okay, that's what they're going to adopt as their party platform. But the more and more calls for it, Brian, is insane. And
well, I got to tell you, it is Texas. And if it's anywhere near Dallas, another thing you missed last week. Found out that basically a lot of people who go around shooting people and or going
all from
in the back
one triangle
in the north.
I saw that.
The North Dallas suburbs, man.
We're gonna have to get into that a little bit more.
Stay away from
well.
The North Dallas suburbs, yeah. Folks.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents.
Where are all the white fathers? What happened? What about the white people? Huh?
I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. I'm back after a week's hiatus, but we're taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We're going to share a little bit more updates about the Juneteenth celebrations here in Wisconsin that took place over the weekend. And we got Matt Rothschild joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
What's been going on while I've been gone?
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and the Shaw 101 FM as well. Always streaming on the Devil Radio app. And Brian, you know, before we dive into our Juneteenth update, I do want to give kind of a little tangent off of Jack from Merrimack's call.
Mac from Jeremack.
Yeah, just all good. The different letters. But Jack brings out an interesting point for conventions to keep an eye on. And one of the things I saw when I was catching up on stories is there was a request from the Republican Party of Wisconsin to identify boaters in the La Crosse area to do a Trump Ron Johnson boat parade outside of the DPW that's going to be coming to La Crosse later this week. They want to get at least 10 boats with Ron Johnson flags and Trump flags out on the Mississippi River by the convention center.
You know, last time there was a real convention of people with a bunch of boats and Trump flags, I think they sunk a bunch of other smaller craft.
Some of the participants in that parade ended up at the bottom of the body of water. I think that was in Tampa. I could be wrong. It might have been a different city down in Florida. But
let's not disparage Florida. They've had enough heaped onto them.
The boat parade, I feel like, would not necessarily be the same optics that you'd want after that occurrence. But apparently the RPW is like, no, let's do that on the Mississippi River. So that was one of the interesting things that I saw. A little bit more humorous rather than scary, like Texas seceding from the Union.
Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but
it's fine. It's fine.
It's all fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's
that
fine.
Meme I think about constantly, Brian.
Yeah, the burning one, or there were the frog in water. Yeah.
The little, it's like a dog, or I believe he's a dog sitting sipping coffee, just saying side
eye. It's fine. It's burning. Fine. It's fine as long as the coffee's warm. It's really, really how it works. That's Texas.
So
what
keep,
a wonderful
keep
place.
An eye out though for a boat parade potentially happening on the Mississippi River later this week.
You know what? When I go out on a boat parade and do that, it's fine. My friends in the bars in Chicago, all the bartenders in certain areas, we would get together and rent houseboats on in Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
And you'd basically just rent a houseboat and live there for a week and completely destroy yourself in every way, shape, or form. Just completely defile yourself. One time we were up there with our, and there was a big giant boat with a giant Confederate flag on it.
I saw a lot of those this past week, really.
Yeah. And, okay. No, but so a friend of mine and a couple of friends of mine ran out there and stole the flag. They did an entire like Indiana Jones type of thing, like swam across the water. Oh, and like we were all watching, like, because we all had like a pontoon like that connected all couple boats and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you had like several boats that were moored together on a pontoon. It was awesome. And a concert there and everything. It was great. Anyway. So my guys snuck across the water to this big boat with a Confederate flag in the back of it. And you could see like a movie, you could see like the people, like the big giant drunk guy wandering back to the cooler, grabbing a couple beers and coming back. But then like
the flag's missing,
but like didn't notice yet. But like they snuck up and they saw like they looked out for each other, snuck up on it and then, pulled it off and snuck back. And then, we took a lot of pictures with it, and one of our black friends slept with it as a cape, and then woke up in the morning and was like super Confederate man in the morning, like he wore it like a superhero cape, because the guy woke up in the morning and didn't find out until later, and of course he's this giant rednecky guy like freaking out and yelling blah 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 blah. And then my buddy comes out and he's like, I am super, whatever, it just, it was offensive all over, but we all ended up making friends. And the guy was like, look, I get it. I won't fly the flag and everything, but that actually was like my granddaddy's flag type of thing, and shook and talked about it. And we moved on. I really don't think he ever didn't fly it anymore, but you know what I mean? Like it at least was ended amicably and no fisticuffs, but yeah, that's that happened in the 2000s.
Yeah, well, and Brian, this the Juneteenth celebration. It's now taking place. Today is the first time that the federal government has observed Juneteenth as a federal holiday. But Milwaukee's been doing it for years, celebrating Juneteenth
since the 70s, right?
Since 1971, one of the longest running Juneteenth celebrations in the nation.
Thousands of people were there this weekend.
Yeah, thousands of people celebrating in Milwaukee yesterday at the event. And I don't understand how that's not talked about more, Brian.
It should be a source of pride. It should be a source of wonderful excitement. And by the way, a huge source of commerce.
Milwaukee is the festival city. Milwaukee does festivals for absolutely everything. And the fact that we're only like, I think, Brian, that Juneteenth is about 3 years ago when a lot of what is the reckoning of talking about race at the national level, and talking about Juneteenth and coming up and addressing some of these things that now Republicans want to brand as critical race theory and say, oh, well, you can't teach those things. It's been a revival and a backlash so quickly around this.
Yeah.
But how is it not more celebrated that the city of Milwaukee has one of the longest running Juneteenth celebrations in the nation? And the way that sometimes the outlets here in Wisconsin talk about it, Juneteenth and other associated aspects of the nation's past.
Yeah. The nightly news last night that I saw, the local one, led with two murders first. And then, by the way, Juneteenth.
Then thousands of people celebrating, enjoying, and having a good time. But first, we got to tell you about two murders. I don't understand how we can't talk about these things in a more productive light. But I guess when you've got the backlash coming saying, well, we're going to ban our kids from learning about this altogether, it makes it a little bit more difficult for people to talk about, I guess.
Yep. But you know what? It's not going to be difficult to talk about. The insurrection hearings that we're going to talk about with Matt Rothschild will be joining us just a second ago. This whole entire board thing is really confusing me right now.
Where Brian's getting his bearings associated. Luke's back. We're catching things up. We got Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up next.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. Having a great time here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. It's, I'm getting around to figuring out what I'm doing here. It's pretty exciting.
Brian, it's like riding a bike, man. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We'll get there. We'll get there. Right now, I can tell you that we are broadcasting on the southern swath of Wisconsin. Right now in the Solidarity Realty Studios, I'm broadcasting WTTN, 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio, out in the Waukesha area. I like to put an L on the end of things just to go and generalize the area. The Waukesha area has 540 AM, that's WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. And I am not there. I'm an absentee landlord today. Right now I'm very pleased to announce that we are joined by, you just haven't heard him yet. It's Matthew Rothschild. How are you doing, buddy? The vigilante of good governance. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Brian. Thanks for having me on. It's nice to be with you and Luke.
Of course, man. Luke's been absent for a week, and I've been, let's say, absent-minded. Let's catch everybody up before we go and dive into the next hearings. What are we looking at here going into tomorrow? And let's highlight some Wisconsin ties.
Yeah, what did I miss last week, Matt? Because I've seen some of the top-line stuff, but it seems like there was a lot in the hearings last week.
Well, it was a pretty damning case that the January 6th committee has been steadily building here. I think the big gaspy moment from last week was that John Eastman asked for a pardon like 3 days after January 6th, after he was telling Trump to keep going forward and keep peddling all the big lie conspiracy and come up with some cockamamie legal theory to justify the coup. And oops, I guess I better get a coup if they're still available, he said to Giuliani, who I guess was shepherding the coup request. But anyway, it's just the amount of criminality, the amount of evidence of criminality is so gigantic that Merrick Garland Day better be coming sometime soon.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of the weird part to me as well, that Eastman kind of suggested that there was a whole list of other people that thought they needed to be pardoned as well, because they all just agreed that it was a crime. And then even after they knew it was a crime, they went forward with committing the crime.
Yeah, I mean, when Eastman said he was going to lose at the Supreme Court first 7-2 and then 9-0, that means he knew he was doing something illegal. And if you're anybody, but especially if you're a lawyer and you know that you're doing something illegal, you're in a world of hurt here. And that's why the other Trump lawyer who said you better get yourself the best effing defense lawyer you can buy was probably pretty good advice. And I did see that he did have a defense lawyer sitting right next to him when he was taking the Fifth Amendment 100 times.
Yeah, he looked at the attorney that was representing him several times before saying, yes, I'm pleading the Fifth.
And then he just said Fifth. I didn't know that's what you could do, too. Why didn't he just put up his hand and give a number 5?
He shortened it down to just say Fifth over and over and over again from the clip that I saw catching up. And so that's what we saw last week. Now, the case that I've heard is going to be made out tomorrow is kind of they gave the overarching theme last week of the federal approach to subvert the election. Now, tomorrow's hearing, this week, we're going to hear more about the ongoing attempt in the state legislatures. So bringing in the state legislative actors that were trying to subvert it at the on the ground in several different toss-up states, swing states, during the 2020 election, including Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. So what kind of Wisconsin ties, Matt, do you believe we're going to hear about in tomorrow's hearings?
Well, tomorrow might be Bob Spindell Day. I mean, Bob Spindell's on the Wisconsin Election Commission, if you can believe that. He was one of the false electors from Wisconsin. Remember, there were 10 Republican, diehard Republican activists in December who went into the Capitol and claimed to be the electors when they knew, in fact, that the legitimate electors were the Biden electors. And Bob Spindell was one of the 10. The head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin at the time was one of the 10. And so they are looking, the January 6th committee is looking at these false electors, not only in Wisconsin, but in the other close states. And they are going to show that there was a coordinated illegal attempt to get these to get electors in these states. It didn't just happen that Bob Spindell walked into the Capitol with nine of his buddies, including the head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, decided to impersonate a real elector. I mean, they were instructed to do so by Eastman and other Trump folks, and by a lawyer who used to be at Foley and Lardner, who is in on some of this stuff, Cleta Mitchell. She was in on some of the false elector stuff. She also was on the conversation with Raffensperger down in Georgia. So it might be Cleta Mitchell Day tomorrow, too.
Yeah, Cleta Mitchell is definitely one of the names that I am going to be listening for tomorrow. But John Chesbro or Cheesebro, I forget exactly how he pronounces it. But he is a Wisconsinite as well and may have been kind of one of those nexus ties to John Eastman's scheme and the people on the ground here in Wisconsin. What do we think we're going to hear about Cheeseboro tomorrow?
Yeah, Cheeseboro's going to make an appearance, maybe a cameo, maybe more than that. There's another Wisconsin lawyer, Terpus, I think his name is, something like that anyway.
Jim Tropas, I believe.
Yeah, who may have a cameo role to play tomorrow. I'm also still outraged about the 14 Republican legislators who sent a letter to Pence on January 5th, of all days, not to certify the slate from Wisconsin. I don't know if they will make an appearance, but I'd like to see that. Janelle Branchon is one of those 15 legislators. And of course, she's head of the Wisconsin Assembly Committee on Elections, unbelievable as that is. So, I mean, the big lie, the amazing thing to me is the big lie is still circulating despite all this evidence. You had Cleta Mitchell in Wisconsin just this week, and you had the RNC in Wisconsin. You had the Wisconsin Republican Party doing an election integrity tour where they kept repeating the big lie. I mean, the stuff just won't die. You can't put a stake through it.
I just don't know, like, I don't know what else to do other than to please just lock up the people that have committed crimes, especially the ones who said, you know that pardon thing? You don't, even the backing away into by the way, all of my things are exhausted now.
Please give me that escape ticket. I need that golden parachute.
Is that pardon door still open? I want to knock on that door. I mean, that was hilarious to me. But I think despite the fact that the big lie keeps circulating here in Wisconsin, in Texas, they did crazy stuff over the weekend, too, saying that Trump won and Biden's illegitimate and all this other nonsense. The good news is that 60% of the American public think that Trump committed a crime. And so we're making some progress.
Yeah, and that's what's so important about having this hearing and having it in public and making sure that everybody at least has the opportunity to know it and then have it recycled and reiterated and, you know, talked about over and over and over again. We can't let this go because this is our opportunity to give everybody as much information as possible. And it seems to be, at least from what you're telling me, at least to be publicly starting to look at, oh, wow, this guy, this guy may have committed a crime.
And, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Watergate hearings and how Nixon fell from grace. And for a while there, you know, the Nixon diehard people were supporting him. And even more than that, there were, you know, the people who voted for Nixon in 68 and 72 were sticking by him. And then by the end, no one would admit they voted for Nixon. And I sure hope we get to that point with Trump. You know, I think the number of people who are going to believe that he committed crimes and should be prosecuted will just steadily increase. They've made an incredible case. Liz Cheney is a tremendous prosecutor of this case. And I think she makes the best presentation to the people who need to hear it, because she can speak to Republicans and independents in a way maybe that Benny Thompson or Jamie Raskin can't. And I'm looking forward to Adam Kinzinger. I think he's up to bat tomorrow.
So now, looking back at the, you know, you brought up Nixon, Watergate, that type of thing, and learning history, they tell us, you know, that he lost when he lost the Republican Party, when they said, hey, look, dude, you're done.
Once he found out the Republicans were going to impeach him and remove him, that's when he decided to resign.
But there's a tipping point there where they go and say there's no other way to look about it. And right now, they had to at least look at it, and they never considered not accepting reality, is what I'm saying. Like, and now the new play is, well, what we did wrong in that situation wasn't the crime that we did. What we did wrong was accepting the reality that we committed one. And for me, it feels different in that way because, like you said, it's a zombie that just won't die. They keep coming back.
It is different in that we have this authoritarian crowd that is saying the only thing that went wrong was that Pence wimped out. I mean, that's what Steve Bannon is still saying to this very day. We heard the wimp word. We heard the P word, too, the other day in hearings, that's what Trump was calling Pence. And for the diehards like Roger Stone or Steve Bannon, you know, Pence should have just done the illegal thing and engineered the coup and you know, pulled the lever on the coup. You didn't really hear that much, maybe except for Roger Stone back in the Nixon days, people saying that kind of thing. Well, but there is this sense among the Trump cult and among the white nationalists, these are the two forces, and there's a lot of overlap there, who just won't give it up. And they really don't understand or respect or want a democracy.
But Matt, isn't this kind of a test of the entire experiment that Fox News and the conservative right-wing ecosystem for media has been doing since the Nixon days? Because Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch essentially wanted to prevent anything like Watergate from happening again in the fact that it would have to be a Republican president resigning in that, because that's what it came down to. They wanted an ecosystem where they told their listening audience the facts that they thought they wanted them to hear. And it seems like the only way that this didn't end with Trump resigning back in 2020 and the early days of 2021 before his term ended was because they thought that they could get away with it. And to me, it seems if there is an accountability, if Merrick Garland Day isn't coming soon, that's the scary part of the story then, because they knew it was a crime. They knew that had Al Gore tried to do that exactly what they attempted to do in 2000, or if Kamala Harris wanted to try to do something like it in 2025, January 6, 2025, that Kamala Harris couldn't do it, but they wanted Mike Pence to do it. They knew it was a crime, but they thought he could get away with it still. And what do we do about that? How do we address, because 60% of public opinion isn't that tipping point. We need to convince more of the American public that they knew it was a crime and that they still tried to go forward with it anyways.
Yeah, so we still got to bring these facts to light. The January 6th committee is not done. Tomorrow's going to be big. The concluding section is going to be huge, I think. You know, Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell wimped out on January 7th. You know, they could have gone to Trump and say, you know, you're done here or we're going to vote for impeachment. But they didn't do that. And that's kind of why we're here. And you're absolutely right. Rupert Murdoch, Tucker Carlson, they've got a lot on their conscience right now, if they have a conscience, because they have been primarily responsible for the continuation of this big lie.
Yeah. And one of the other things I believe that's important about these hearings, Matt, is laying out who knew what when and sharing that information, because I believe that was the part of the tipping point in Watergate. I'm a younger gentleman myself, Matt.
You're hurting me.
I wasn't around in those days, but from reading history, the fact that Nixon, they found out that Nixon knew about the break-in and authorized the break-in, and finding out that the president at the time knew that the crime was being committed, finding out through the January 6th hearings that Trump knew that the crime was a crime and still went forward with it, is pretty damning information. And I think we can talk a little bit more here. We got a break coming up. But the fact that the Wisconsin Republicans sent that letter on January 5th after the lawyers for Trump told him on January 4th that it was a crime, I think is pretty damning as well. That the people in Wisconsin, the Republican actors in Wisconsin, knew potentially that it wasn't kosher either, and they still went forward with it. So, folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. We are joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about the January 6th hearing scheduled for tomorrow, as well as let's talk a little bit about an update with Gableman, because I missed some of that out last week as well. Taking your calls. We'll be right back. Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It's just too good of a build-up, Brian. You can't step on it too soon.
Yeah, you know what? It makes me hungry because I need a gyro right now.
Oh, see, I always think it's like a hero sandwich, like a hero sub.
Oh, that's good,
that's
too.
That's good, yeah.
I keep telling myself I'm going to go back down to Philly's Best in Chicago. I know it's crazy, but they have a Philly connection. They make a really good cheesesteak. They bake it on garlic bread with onions, and it's... And they ask you if you want cheese whiz or not, and I'm like, why do you even ask?
It's always with the whiz.
Oh, my gosh. But they also do some amazing, like, oven-baked grinders and hoagies. My goodness. Philly's best. But I want to plug my buddy's place again. I went down to Wrigley Field yesterday to watch the Cubs. It was actually a sold-out game, Cubs and Braves. It was standing room only. We got seats. Yay. But anyway, my buddy, it's Wrigley Field, but the Ricketts have basically bought everything around there. There's hotels everywhere. All the dollars stream revenue into the Ricketts. The Ricketts are super right-wing family, that type of thing. But if you want to go down there and enjoy Wrigley Field and go to maybe an independent place, I would definitely check out Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. Their wings.
Roadhouse.
Their wings.
I did not get down there last
guys,
time.
Guys, their wings.
Yes, and I can't wait to try them, but anyway, we devolve.
Anyway, we've digressed again, yes, already. I want to talk to...
we're good. We got our friend Matt Rothschild here. And
Matt, we want to talk about a guy who is no stranger to wings, Mr. Michael Gableman. He's a very angry man. He says a lot of angry things in court. Have you ever...
Yes. Go ahead, Brian, with that question.
Yeah, please,
that's
have
what
you
I
ever seen
ask.
Someone so, like... You've heard that we played the hot mic tape, right? Of him, you know, being misogynist and talking, oh, you know, come back down here and oh, let me prosecute her, making fun of the prosecutor and the judge in open court, and then knowing he had an open mic and then continuing to go on. At the end, my favorite part was, I've never made anyone feel like that in my court. I don't think I've actually seen anybody in my court to do that. I hope I didn't make anybody feel like that. And it devolved to, I don't think I did. Well, all right, I tried. So it devolved back and forth into like a self-realization moment caught on tape where he realized he may have been that much of an a-hole in his own courtroom. What's your take, Matt?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd love to see video of it too. I mean, the guy is a born bully, and he's hot-tempered and got the worst of him a couple Fridays ago when he was interrupting the judge in a way that no witness ever gets to interrupt a judge. I was walking past the square right after the hearing ended. I didn't go in. And a conservative lawyer, great defense lawyer in Madison, drove by, pulled over, honked at me. We're good friends. He said, you should have seen Gableman make a fool of himself in the courtroom. I've never seen anything like it. This is what Trump derangement syndrome really looks like, because Gableman's totally lost it. And other lawyers who saw that on video said, you know, it's unheard of. He'd be thrown in jail right away if he was an average citizen. Well, it took a couple days, but Judge Remington did throw the book at him. I mean, he's fining him $2,000 a day. Of course, that might come out of our pockets.
Oh, probably.
But even worse for Gableman is he may lose his law license, which would be a beautiful ending.
Well, of course, that would be, in his mind, he'd be a martyr, right?
This is fantastic. See, these are the things I missed out on last week. I saw the transcript. I didn't know there was actual audio of this. So I need to go back and listen to the audio, because that is phenomenal to know. And if Gableman lost his law license, that would put a stake in the idea and the suggestion that I've been saying Gableman's been trying this whole time, is to try to revive his name in Wisconsin to attempt to run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court next spring. And I don't think you could, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I don't think he could do that if he had his law license revoked.
I mean, if his law license is revoked, he's toast. And so is his circus that he's been running. Voss can't have a guy who's acting like a lawyer who's practicing law without a license running the investigation.
Well,
so that would be a beautiful thing if the Wisconsin Office of Lawyer Regulation suspends or revokes his license. I mean, he was mocking the judge in the courtroom on that hot mic. I mean, he was also being horribly misogynistic toward the great attorney, Krista Westerberg, who's working for American Oversight, this terrific nonprofit group. But he was mocking the judge, saying, you know, Westerberg is Judge Remington with a beard. And then he impersonated the judge's voice. Come back to my chambers, Miss Westerberg. I mean, come on, yeah. Who gets away with that crap?
Yeah, I have the end of that part, because it's a choppy sound, but I have the end of that part, but then it goes right into the realization part. And I really want you guys to listen
all
to
right,
this part, because it's amazing, because it devolves into, I never made anybody feel like that in my courtroom. To the end, he goes, well, I tried. It's the best. Here we go. This is the end of him making fun of the prosecutor and the judge.
Why don't you come back into my chambers and you can dictate what I'm balls of the truth. I had a courtroom. I never acted like that. Jesus. I hope I never made a litigant feel like he. I hope I never did. I don't believe I did. I tried. I tried to be fair. Not like this.
Oh my goodness!
I tried to be fair. I might have. Maybe I did.
I don't know. Oh my gosh! That is incredible. That okay. Wow. The things I miss. But
if you're a betting man, tomorrow does Gableman's name get brought up?
You know, I don't think so. And I was also asked by someone, well, is now Voss going to get rid of Gableman? And I think Voss is so scared about his own primary that he's going to wait till the election's over before he tells Gableman to close up shop.
Well, one of the arguments that the January 6th committee has been making, though, Matt, this is an ongoing attempt. The coup is not over. They are still trying. And I think Wisconsin's the best indicator of that. And Gableman's review is the indicator of that as well. So you don't believe, though, that Gableman's name gets brought up in showing that the Republican attempt to overthrow the 2020 election and delegitimize our elections in states around the nation won't be brought up tomorrow?
No, because I think they're going to focus more on the false electors and Cleta Mitchell and people and Cheeseboro and the lawyers like that. But you're absolutely right. The coup goes on. I mean, I saw Adam Kinzinger yesterday saying there is violence in the future. And he got a death threat yesterday or 2 days ago against him and his wife and their 5-month-old child, if you can believe that.
Oh, I can believe anything these days, Matt. I've seen and heard way too much.
I was gonna say, it's not any less upsetting, but it is less shocking, because stuff like that is happening with more and more frequency. This is our friend Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign joining us. You've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast at devilradio927.com. Really appreciate you joining us this afternoon, Matt. We'll have you back on again soon.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure.
Devil's Advocates are coming up next, and we will be back tomorrow at 2.
I'm going to put my mind back together. It's going to be great.